Good morning, Mr. Bailiff. I must begin by declaring an interest under Rule 1715. My eldest child started university this year. I will therefore be eligible to claim a dependent relatives allowance with effect from the 1st of January 2017 and will not be impacted by Proposition 3 if it is approved. However, if my two younger children proceed to higher education, I would become ineligible to claim dependent relatives allowance in respect of each of them if Proposition 3 is approved. I should add, for the avoidance of doubt, that in accordance with the rules of procedure, I did, of course, recuse myself from my committee's discussion on this matter, and I therefore played no part in its decision in my absence to recommend Proposition 3 to the states in this budget report. Mr. Bailiff, I'm pleased to present on behalf of the Policy and Resources Committee the State of Guernsey Budget for 2017. It is worth setting out at the outset that this is not my budget. It is one compiled by the committee as a whole, including proposals which we all consider best meet our prime objective of achieving a balanced budget in a manner which is responsible, fair, progressive and realistic. Once we've debated it today and the propositions become resolutions, it will of course become our budget, a budget endorsed and approved by this Assembly for our island's community needs. I'm not going to repeat all of our proposals within this speech. Instead, I wish to focus on some of the fundamental issues. Some of my committee colleagues will speak on other matters of interest. Deputy Brouard, as the member with the responsibility for bailiff issues, will talk on Alderney matters. Deputy Stevens, with her social policy role, will speak about charitable giving. And Deputy Trott will update members on the State of Guernsey bond. Sir, the annual budget and the Social Security uprating report, which we will debate later this week, Future Guernsey and the Policy and Resource Plan, which we will debate in 2 weeks, public service reform and transformation, and the capital programme. Slowly but surely, all the strands and separate pieces of work are being drawn and knitted together. We have the opportunity in this States for the first time to ensure that planning, capital projects, policy and resource allocation are coordinated decisions, not individual decisions taken in isolation. This is a tremendously exciting period of change and opportunity for government in Guernsey. Policy and Resources are committed to working as closely as possible with other committees. For example, as noted in the budget report, we hope to have a much closer and regular ongoing dialogue with the Committee for Employment and Social Security on fiscal matters. Before speaking about the 2017 budget and to help set its context, I'd like to give a very brief update on the current financial position for 2016. At the end of the first quarter, I informed the Assembly that at that stage, a deficit was being forecast in the order of £10 to £15 million this year. I outlined a series of measures put in place to seek to balance the position. When I updated this in early September, the forecast deficit had reduced to £6 to £8 million, and I'm pleased that the budget report includes a further narrowing of the gap to some £5 million as a result of these measures and some improvement in revenues. The most recent forecast is that the deficit at the end of the year is likely to be lower still and could even be entirely eliminated as a result of continued expenditure restraint. With 2 months of the year yet to run, let's not count too many chickens just yet, but it is particularly pleasing to report that month on month, the projected overspend of the Committee for Health and Social Care is steadily reducing. The budget for health and social care services has quite understandably become an area of significant attention and one whose recent financial history could be described as somewhat turbulent, with several years of budgetary challenges and cost pressures resulting in overspends. During 2015, an external assessment of the appropriate baseline budget for current service provision was undertaken, the BDO report. The resulting report compared the costs of our services to our peers and identified areas where a reduction in expenditure should be possible through efficiencies or transformation, ranging from £5 to £24 million. However, the report recommended an immediate but temporary increase in the budget for the services currently provided of £8.2 million. This was agreed by the states last year, but resulted in the need to suspend our fiscal target of no real terms growth in aggregate revenue expenditure. This increase was unequivocally a temporary measure, with the intention that budgets would be reduced in future years, as the significant efficiency and transformation opportunities identified in the report were delivered. Unfortunately, extensive political and civil service changes during this year and substantial operational and financial pressures have resulted in a delay in commencing the transformation programme. Although the programme is now underway, the Policy and Resources Committee has taken what it considers to be a realistic approach in recommending a cash limit for 2017, which does not include a target for delivery of any savings. However, there remains an expectation that savings will be delivered and cash limits will be reduced over future years, and I'm sure that Deputy Salisbury will speak to this further during general debate. This is a responsible and prudent approach which does not place undue pressure on this priority area and allows further time for the delivery of transformation and change activities which will lead to service benefits and will deliver financial savings. The review undertaken in 2015 suggested that savings of over 12% are possible on the overall health-related spend, provided a holistic, coherent, and ambitious reform programme is delivered. I cannot overstress, and I know this is a view shared by the Committee for Health and Social Care, how important it is that major reform of the health system is planned and delivered. This has been recognised in the annual Independent Fiscal Policy Review, which has advised that reform needs to consider what services should be provided, to whom, and how these services can be most effectively delivered. Without this reform, they warn, our public services will remain precarious over the medium term. Although reform is being led by the Committee for Health and Social Care, they will need active engagement and support from the Policy and Resources Committee, which we shall provide, and indeed all members of this Assembly. The transformation of health and social care must also consider the funding, integration and reporting of services. When the total costs of states' health and social care services is considered, expenditure amounts to over £170 million a year, which has been growing in real terms. In particular, the cost of those services funded through the Health Service Fund have been growing in real terms in recent years, which we cannot afford to sustain. For example, the cost of the secondary healthcare contract has increased by 22%, or 15% in real terms, from £14.5 million to £17.7 million since the last fee review was implemented in January 2013. Although much of the expenditure from the Health Service Fund is through contracts with third parties, those contracts, including any new secondary healthcare contract, must be subject to the same rigour, requirement and expectation for transformation and savings. At the moment, expenditure from that fund does not have the same level of scrutiny and comment as general revenue expenditure, and it should. Therefore, following consultation with the Committee for Health and Social Care, it is my committee's intention to support transparency in our highest spending area by including in the next set of States of Guernsey accounts a summary statement which consolidates all publicly funded health-related expenditure. Quite simply, we cannot continue to operate and report along committee-based lines, but need to move to service reporting and work towards removing artificial barriers. In the same vein, we have recognised that the current funding model for health services is not optimal or fair. This applies both to which committee is responsible for delivery of the service and how services are funded, currently through a combination of social security contributions and general taxation, which of course distributes the burdens on the public in very different ways. Therefore, over the next year, a review of the options for reforming health service funding with a view to making it more fair and progressive will be carried out with the Committee for Employment and Social Security. So, given our experience in 2015 and 2016 of revenues falling short of our original budget expectations, the budget for 2017 has been prepared using very prudent revenue assumptions. We are also proposing net additional revenues of £5.4 million arising from responsible and reasonable tax and duty changes. Over this term, my committee will be seeking to broaden the tax base and continue to seek ways to make the tax system more progressive, both pursuant to and subject to the decisions taken by the last Assembly in the Personal Tax, Pensions and Benefits Review, including, of course, the decision not to pursue any further investigation of a goods and services tax. For example, whilst designed to be revenue neutral to the states, the reforms in document duty recommended in this budget are intended to support and stimulate the housing market, which is currently showing welcome signs of recovery. The change to a graduated system is also progressive, as the rates charged will increase as the property value increases, therefore benefiting the most those trying to get a foot on the first rung of the property ladder.
Yeah.
In addition, the withdrawal of personal income tax allowances for higher earners is estimated to raise £2.4 million of additional income, and this progressive measure has enabled the real terms increase in the single personal income tax allowance to £10,000. There has been some unease at our proposal to remove the age-related income tax allowance for 2019 onwards, and I know that Deputy Roffey will speak on that matter during general debate to urge members to oppose Proposition 2. We recognise that this will have a particular impact on those with low fixed incomes. However, in line with the proposals in the Personal Tax, Pensions and Benefits Review, following which a decision was made to phase out age-related reliefs, we do not believe that the tax system is the best way of targeting support to those in most need. The tax system provides the same universal relief to both those retired and working, low and high paid. We believe that the benefit system is a far superior method of protecting those most vulnerable, and implementing the Swivic proposals, when they become affordable, will be the best means of achieving this. If Proposition 2 is not approved, the medium-term forecasts for 2019 and 2020 will need to be revised, and the lost revenue of retaining the allowance for new claimants will need to be replaced from another source.
Yes.
As set out in the recent annual Independent Fiscal Policy Review, and I quote, "The fall in working age population and continued pressure on the finance sector worldwide points to the possibility of a further decline in revenues from personal and corporate taxation. Global growth is projected to continue at a sluggish pace over the next 2 years, and the knock-on effects of the UK's decision to leave the European Union remain unclear. In order to be prudent, Brexit should be treated as a downside risk to Guernsey's economic growth between 2016 and 2019. The state may need to revisit its existing plans for fiscal tightening should revenues fall short, as well as any actions designed to support economic activity if the downside risk materialises. In order to address these real risks of shortfalls in revenue, it is necessary and responsible to continue to look at measures both to increase revenue and reduce expenditure. This budget report outlines two reviews which will be carried out in 2017 to consider extending the revenue base. Firstly, to generate greater income from those businesses who will benefit most from the island's investment in world-class connectivity, including digital and transport links. And secondly, whether the excise duty regime should be extended to other fuel oils, not just motor fuel and petrol for marine use. I should emphasise that the Policy and Resources Committee is not committed to any particular proposals in respect of either review, and they will be undertaken with an open mind. But we fully support the need to broaden the tax base where appropriate and fair in order to improve our revenue sustainability. It is pleasing that the annual Independent Fiscal Review recognises that the states, and I quote, have continued to show impressive restraint in expenditure. In respect of expenditure, the package of measures put together to deliver this balanced budget comprises reductions of expenditure of over £11.3 million in 2017. The largest contribution to this comes by way of real terms budget reductions of 3% for all committees, other than health and social care, amounting to £6.6 million. Although this will be challenging, all committee presidents have assured me that they believe it will be possible for their committees to live within the cash limits proposed in this budget, and we are most grateful to all committees for their active commitment to this objective. A further reduction in overall non-formula-led expenditure is planned for both 2018 and 2019, at least £10 million each year. This is an unashamedly challenging target, but one which my committee believes we must strive for. The target is one that can be achieved if we wholeheartedly embrace the need for reform, dare to be ambitious in those plans, and work together towards achieving success, targeting areas of opportunity, particularly around the use of technology. The target most certainly will not be delivered by a salami-slicing, committee-based approach. For the avoidance of doubt, and to repeat assurances I've given to individual committees, that means that it is quite firmly not the intention of my committee to simply allocate a percentage target reduction to each committee. Further significant work needs to be undertaken through public service reform and as part of the development of the capital portfolio to identify and prioritise reform activities that will deliver the most benefit in the time available and then allocate resources and targets to those. It is my intention to update the Assembly on the progress of public service reform and transformation by way of statement before the end of this year. Delivering savings in the context of current services will be important, as we know that there will be increases in demand for some existing services in the coming years. We also know that there is already pressure to introduce new or enhanced services, not least these proposals being approved, such as the reform of supplementary benefit. Realistically, therefore, it is only going to be possible to make funding available through the reform of existing services which deliver savings. The use of this funding should be subject to prioritisation through the policy and resource planning process by this Assembly to ensure that it is allocated to the areas which best deliver on the objectives which we agree will help us to deliver future Guernsey. My committee acknowledges the structural fiscal challenges we still face as a result of ongoing demographic changes. To address this, we will develop a medium-term fiscal plan as part of the next phase of the policy and resource plan. Whilst it has been possible to recommend an increase in the appropriation to the capital reserve in 2017, it is still below the target in the fiscal framework. This is clearly unsustainable. There is a continued requirement to invest in our capital infrastructure, both to maintain and replace existing assets, but also to enable transformation in the delivery of services. The appropriations to the capital reserve in 2017 and later years will be supplemented by transfers of income from the States of Guernsey trading assets. It will become increasingly important, as recognised by the annual independent fiscal review, that those businesses are operated in a commercial manner, providing a return to the States as shareholder, both through capital returns and ongoing dividends. Following the recent round of capital prioritisation, it is apparent that it is not going to be possible to allocate funding to deliver all of the proposals submitted, 51 of them estimated at nearly £700 million, compared to projected funding available of £280 million, about 40%. This limited funding means that it is ever more important that a mature and responsible approach is taken so that the necessary work is carried out to build a portfolio of projects that is achievable, sustainable, and affordable. It must include the right projects, they must have the right scope, and they must be delivered at the right price. Therefore, we will need to be realistic and seek to manage expectations on what can be delivered based on the funding available. Whilst it would be very easy to allocate the entire funding available to a handful of flagship projects, these may not support the development of our economy or enable the critical reform of public services. And this is why we are recommending the allocation of funding to categories. 30% to maintain the operation of existing services, 50% to transform service delivery, and 20% to projects that will benefit the island or a specific sector of the economy. This allocation should ensure a broad spread of projects and should allow us to target investment into those which will help us deliver on the policy and resource plan objectives. However, committees are going to have to be responsible and realistic and play their part as proposals are developed to ensure that consideration is given to all available options for delivering desired outcomes, even if those aren't their favoured solutions. We're going to need to work together to define and agree the scope of projects, which are affordable and within the overall context in order to deliver a balanced portfolio for approval at the policy and resource plan debate in June next year. We will also need to consider all possible alternative funding mechanisms, including, of course, the use of some of the bond proceeds, provided, of course, there is a revenue stream to support this alternative. Sir, before I close, I wish to acknowledge and thank all those involved in the preparation of this budget, particularly, of course, the State's Treasurer and the Assistant State's Treasurer, but there are many other officers working closely together across many committees and without whom it would not be possible to have produced this budget report. Sir, when work on the 2017 budget commenced, modelling showed that if existing policies in respect of capital allocations were followed, no budget measures taken and the increased cost of health and social care services met, there would have been a deficit of £25 million next year. As a result of the measures included within this budget report, we have been able to put together a package which eliminates the expected shortfall through a balance of revenue raising and expenditure restraint in which all committees have played their part and for which they should be commended. The measures to reduce expenditure are approximately twice the value of the net increase in tax and duty income, which we believe is a fair result and burden sharing for taxpayers.
Yeah.
It has therefore been possible to produce not only a balanced budget, but also one which, in the round, is far more favourable than my committee imagined possible in the middle of this year. That is, or ought to be, an inspiring achievement in which all members of this Assembly can be justly proud. We believe that the budget report being considered today represents a progressive, fair, prudent and realistic package for 2017, and I commend it to the States. Oh.